Well, good afternoon. It's good to, again, to be in the Lord's house with you today. And right now, there's not anywhere else I would rather be than in the Lord's house with His people, just honoring the Lord and honoring what the Lord is doing in our life. Do you love the Lord today? Love the Lord today. I love the Lord today. And I thank you for His grace. I thank the Lord for His grace. You know, how many of you know that we just have days where we really just need the grace of the Lord? Amen. We just really need to walk by His grace and let His grace carry us. You know, sometimes we can have hard days too. I remember a pastor telling a story. You know, he spent all night at the hospital with a member. It was Saturday night, and on Sunday he came home and he had to get ready for church. And as he was getting ready for church, everything that could go wrong seemed to go wrong. He burnt the toast, he burnt his hand, he spilled the coffee on his soup. He got in his car, he was on his way, had a flat tire, and he just pulled over on the side of the road and laid his head on the steering wheel and said, "Oh Lord, what else can go wrong today?" And about that time, a police officer pulled up behind him. And the police officer got out of the car and he said to the man, "You really look distressed. Sir, is there anything wrong? Can I help you?" And the pastor said to him, "Well, it's Sunday and I'm just late for a meeting. I have a meeting I need to be at. And I spilled coffee on my suit and had a flat tire." And he started just telling him all these, just pouring his heart out to the police officer. And the police officer finally smiled at him real big. And he said, "You know, I used to have days like that. But then I became a Christian." Amen. Thank the Lord for His grace. Well, I've been praying and seeking the Lord for a word, and what the Lord has given me is something so very simple. And it's so simple, I've been praying all day today, "Lord, would you just help this message to fly?" And I got the assurance of the Lord. You know, the Lord began to just speak to my heart and just to comfort me that it really takes a deep walk with the Lord, really a testimony to your walk with the Lord, when you can take something so simple from the life of Christ and bring it forth with life and a weight. So I'm just trusting that was the Lord's word to me, that He's given me a simple word, but He sees something with depth in my life. And even though it's going to have weight, it's going to have wings and fly. Amen. Amen. Well, I guess we need to get into it now. I want to talk to you this afternoon about the marvelous glory of a resurrected life. The marvelous glory of a resurrected life. I want you to go with me to the book of John, chapter 11, and I just want to read some scriptures out of John, chapter 11, just various scriptures, and talk about a few things that the Lord just put on my heart for today. We're going to begin at verse 1. It says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And Jesus heard that. He said, The sickness is not unto death, but unto the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Go with me to verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he'd lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary still sat in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother Lazarus had not died. Now I want you to look with me at verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now look with me at verse 38. Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Let's pray. Father, I just ask that you would just help me now. Lord, I'm asking that these simple truths that you place within my heart, that they would truly have something of depth. They would truly have something of life to speak into the deep places of our heart. And Lord, I'm just asking, Lord, that you would just be glorified here today, God, in the lives of your people through this word. Lord, we just give you glory and honor for all that you're doing in our life. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. In John chapter 11, we have the story of the man named Lazarus who has been dead and in the grave for 4 days. The Bible tells us that before he died, his sisters, Mary and Martha, sent a messenger to Jesus saying, Jesus, you need to come quickly and heal our brother before he passes into death. And the Bible says that when Jesus heard the report that he purposely tarried a number of days, and when he heard that Lazarus was dead, that's when he got up and rose and went. And we see that in our story that when Martha and Mary see Jesus, they come to Jesus, and the very first thing they say to Jesus is simply this, Lord, if you had been here, our brother had not died. That Jesus, if you had immediately came when you heard the message, our brother would still be alive. And you can just hear it coming from their heart, even though they're not trying to come off accusatory toward Jesus, that's what they're doing. Because they know that if Jesus had just came when he heard the report, their brother would still be alive. But beloved, here's what I want us to understand. They can't see the bigger picture in what's going on here. That Jesus was seeing a much bigger picture than they were seeing, than they were not seeing. You see, in the mind of God, there was something so much bigger going on than just coming and healing Lazarus. And Mary and Martha couldn't see the bigger picture because they loved their brother deeply. And all they could see was their personal loss. All they could see was their pain. All they could see was their grief. And sometimes when you're really going through the crisis of your life, that's really all that you can see. All you can see is the crisis. All you can see the problem. But Jesus was seeing a much bigger picture, something that they couldn't see. So just for a few moments, I want to look at the bigger picture. I want to look at what Jesus was seeing that they could not see. So I want you to look with me. John chapter 11. Look with me at verse 14 and 15. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, go unto him. So, beloved, this is about the faith of God's people being strengthened. This is about the faith in the Lord's church being strengthened. This is about the faith of those who are following Christ. It's about their faith being fortified in the earth. I want you to look with me at verse 39 and verse 40. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou should see the glory of God? So, beloved, this is all about the glory of God. This is all about this moment of time, Jesus being marvelously glorified in the earth. I want you to look with me at verse 45. It says, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Beloved, this is about eternity. This is about precious, precious souls being plucked from eternal death and planted into eternal life. It's about something of eternal value being produced. Beloved, this was the bigger picture that Jesus was seeing that Mary and Martha just were not able to see. And I really feel in my heart to challenge some precious saints here today. I'm not making light of your circumstance. I'm not making light of your struggle. But could it be today God is calling you to trust him in a deeper way that you've never trusted him before? Maybe there are some people here going through some things, some very difficult things, some very hard things. And Jesus is telling you, this is about something that is so much bigger than you are. It's about something so much bigger than you can see. And can you just trust me that through your faith in this crisis, the faith of my people is going to be strengthened? And could you just trust me that in this moment of your crisis, somewhere and somehow, my glory is going to be revealed in the earth. And can you just trust me that in this time of your crisis, I'm ultimately producing something of eternal value? Maybe the Lord is calling somebody here today. I'm just calling you to trust me in a deeper way than you've ever trusted me before. I'm calling you to trust me that I see the other side. I see the breakthrough. I see the answer that you need. And I know the time that it's coming. But until it comes, can you just trust that I'm working something here that's so much bigger than you are and so much bigger than you can see? Can you just trust me? Amen. Now, there's something here I really want us to see that I think is going to be an encouragement to many people this afternoon. So I want you to go with me again to verse 38 and 39. Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. There was a cave and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. So Jesus says, take away the stone. And Martha replies, Jesus, he's been dead 4 days and by this time he's stinking. And what I want us to understand is that Martha's problem wasn't in believing that the stone could be rolled away. She knew the stone could be rolled away. She knew that. She knew she should gather some people together and they could all put their arms around the stone and their backs to the stone and roll the stone away. Her problem wasn't in the stone. Her problem was simply in believing that at this very moment, Jesus could produce resurrection life. That was the problem. The problem wasn't necessarily the stone. The problem was simply she didn't have a heart to believe that at this very moment, Jesus could raise the dead. And beloved, when Jesus said, take away the stone, Martha could have easily replied, oh, Master, yes, we can do that in our own strength. We can do that. You know, it'd take a lot of work and it'd take a lot of effort, but if we all put our strength together, we can do that. We can do our part, Jesus. In our strength, we can do our part. We can move the stone, so the stone's not the problem. And would you just allow me to take my imagination a little further? Would you allow me to do that? I'll take my imagination a little further. And here's what I want to say. Let's just say that on this side of the tomb is a group of Hindus. And on this side of the tomb is a group of Buddhists. And on way over here is a group of Muslims. And right in the middle, you have the Jews and Judaism. Listen, I'm sure with all my heart that Martha, if she just had just pleaded enough, she could have got a group of Hindus, and got a small group of Muslims, and could have got a small group of Buddhists, and she could have had a small group of Jews come and help her roll away the stone. She could have done that. And it would have looked like, what a beautiful picture when world religions come together, the things that they can accomplish. It would have been a beautiful picture of that. But see, the very moment they rolled the stone away, what do you think would have happened next? They would have looked at each other with satisfaction. Good job. We did it. It took work. It took effort. But we put our strength together and we moved the stone away. Good job. Do you see what we can do when we all just band together? Do you see what we can do? But immediately after that, they would have found themselves staring at this gaping black hole, wondering, what now? I mean, we put our strength together and we moved the stone away, but that's not ultimately the goal here. There is a dead body in the tomb. What now? Right? And they would have found themselves helplessly backing away, and then they would have turned and looked at Jesus. And Jesus would have came forth and lifted his hands to heaven and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead would come walking out of the grave. Amen. And do you know the shock and the astonishment and the amazement of the Hindus and the Buddhists and the Muslims? You know what the shock on their faces would have told the world? Only Jesus can raise the dead. Yeah. Only Jesus can raise the dead. Amen. And beloved, here's my point. What God wants to set before the world is the marvelous glory and power of a resurrected life. What he desires to set upon the platforms of the world is a life gloriously raised from the dead. Amen. See, you can't dispute that. Now, let's just return to the tomb and go a little further in the story. First, Lazarus is dead and walks out of the tomb. Beloved, a dead man coming to life is amazing. How many of you would say, that's amazing? Amen. In our 3 o'clock service today, can you say, Pastor Tim, that is amazing? Amen. A dead man coming to life. But here's what I want you to see. Though that is so amazing, what Lazarus did wasn't really so amazing. It's amazing he was raised from the dead, but what he did wasn't really so amazing. What did he do? He just walked out of the tomb. He just walked. You know, I see people walking the street every day. Amen. And I can almost guarantee pretty much most of us walked into the church today. And I can assure you, as you was crossing 8th Avenue, nobody pointed at you and said at the top of their lungs, "Look at that, he's walking, that's amazing." No, in fact, it's pretty normal. Right? And I can, and my mind's just going now, I can just imagine they took the napkin off of Lazarus' face, and when he looked at Mary and Martha, maybe he just smiled and gave a little wave. And when he did that, the people probably gasped. Beloved, listen, I waved to my family yesterday when I was getting on the train to Penn Station. I didn't hear the crowds gasp. Why? Because that's pretty normal. And beloved, the truth I'm getting at is simply this. Listen, the world needs to see God's people doing the normal things in the life and the strength of the Lord. The world needs to see husbands loving their wives and their children in the life and the strength of the Lord. The world needs to see businessmen and businesswomen running their business with integrity in the strength of the Lord. The world needs to see baseball coaches making an impactful impact upon the lives of kids. Everyday normal things. Why? Why do they need to see that? Because, beloved, they don't always need to see great exploits and feats. You know, there are so many people in this world that are trying with all their strength to do the normal things, but they're failing. And they really just need to see the difference Christ can make in a life when he comes to that life. And you're just doing the everyday things that really matter and that are important. Amen. And I really feel to encourage some people today that you may not see it, you may not feel like it, but in the normal everyday things, your life is speaking profoundly to someone. Someone in your family is having their eyes open and they are seeing the difference Christ makes in a life. The Lord is telling someone, take your eyes off of everything in your life you consider to be failure, everything you think is stopping others from seeing Jesus, and just believe his resurrection life in you is so much bigger and greater and amazing than you are. Amen. But see, here's the problem. Someone would say, but Pastor Tim, I just don't have a Lazarus being raised from the dead testimony. Jesus never physically raised me from the dead. He never came to the Happy Valley Manhattan funeral home and stood over my casket and raised my corpse from the dead. I don't have that testimony. In fact, my testimony is something like this. A friend at church invited me to go to church. A friend at work invited me to go to church. And I went and I got saved. And when I got home from church without taking his eyes off the ball game, my husband Frank asked, so how was church? When I told him I got saved, he said, good, and then asked me to bring him another soda from the fridge. And even though I tried to be joyful and patient the rest of the week, the first time that sorry, no good rascal ticked me off, I let him have it like I always did before. And I am just so absolutely convinced he doesn't see the change in me because I don't feel like I have changed. Have you ever felt like that? You ever felt like you are in the way of people seeing Christ in you? You ever felt like that? But beloved, here's the word I want to look at. Look with me at verse 44. It says, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Beloved, the grave clothes can't hold you. As you walk with Jesus, the grave clothes are falling off one piece at a time. And you are gloriously changing from glory to glory. Beloved, do you know how many husbands have told me, I got saved because I saw the change in my wife. I fought it for years, but there came a day I couldn't fight it anymore, and I surrendered my life to Christ, and I'm so glad I did. You know how many, over the years in ministry, you know how many husbands I have heard with that testimony? I remember hearing the testimony of a man. His wife got saved, and he absolutely saw the change that was going on in her life. And Sunday mornings when she would go to church, he would slip out of his lazy boy chair and he would turn on Christian television. And for 3 hours, he would sit in his lazy boy with one hand up in the air praising God and the other hand drinking a Budweiser. And then right before his wife came home, he would slip back over to the television, put on Gunsmoke, and then heckle her about wasting her time in church. But finally, he had to make the choice. He said, I saw too much of a change happening in my wife, and I so desired to see what was so desired to see in my life. And though it took a few years, I gave my life to the Lord. And beloved, what I'm simply trying to tell you is don't fool yourself and don't let the devil fool you. People see the difference Christ makes in a life through your life. People are seeing. And here's something I truly believe the Lord put in my heart. People need to see gradual change. They need to see gradual transformation. If someone got saved and became utterly perfect overnight, it would look like such a freak of nature, it would scare almost everybody away. But as you are gradually changing, people have the time to see and consider the good things God is doing in your life. Never underestimate the power of gradual change. And thank the Lord for it, that we're changing from glory to glory. And people are seeing the change. And I have a final word from the Lord for you today. And that's simply this. Don't be afraid to open your heart to people. Especially family and loved ones. If God is putting somebody on your heart and saying, I really want you to begin to open your heart to this person, have the courage to trust the Lord. I want you to look with me at verse 39 again. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead 4 days. Beloved, when Jesus said, take away the stone, do you know what Martha was concerned about? Do you know what she was worried about? The stink. Jesus, if you take away the stone, it's going to stink. And beloved, do you know why so many saints are afraid to open up their hearts? Because they're so afraid of what's going to come out. They're so afraid that what comes out of my heart is going to stink. And we just want to protect by keeping our hearts closed. You know, before me and my wife adopted our son, there was a season that I had to face the fear of my own heart. I remember it well. When we adopt this little boy, what is he going to see coming out of my heart? Will I be a good father? Will I represent the Lord well, or will I misrepresent him? What's going to come out of my heart? And even today, I still have, in seasons, I still battle those thoughts. But yet the Lord keeps encouraging me, Tim, open your heart. And open your heart. And open your heart. Because what's coming out is life. Trust me. And beloved, what I'm simply saying to you today is don't be afraid to ask God for the courage to let Him live His life through you. And when He's calling you to open your heart to someone, have the courage to trust Him. When the Lord says, here's someone I want you to open your heart to, your mother, your father, estranged children, it's time to open your heart to them. Trust the work God has done in your heart. And trust what's going to come out is life. Amen. I want you to stand with me this afternoon. I strongly believe this afternoon the Lord wants to deliver some people from a failure mentality. I believe there are Christians in this room and you live your entire Christian life feeling like a failure. I know, I've been there. And I believe with all my heart the Lord wants to just begin to open your eyes to see His goodness. You are not a failure. You know, I want to quote a Summit graduate. She said, no Christian is a failure. Success is what God is doing in your life. No Christian is a failure. Success is what God is doing in your life. You're not a failure because Christ in you is not a failure. You're not a failure because the work Christ is doing in your life is not a failure. To accuse yourself of being a failure is to accuse Christ of being a failure. And He is no failure. He is the one who says, be confident. He that began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. He's the one that says, as the potter has done to this clay, can I not do with you, O my people? As you sit upon my potter's wheel, the tenderness of my hands are working in your life, and they will not fail to produce something of my nature and my character. And beloved, today I just want to pray for people that you would truly begin to see and take joy in the good work God is doing in your life. Very simple prayer, but it's a very freeing prayer that we would truly just begin to see the awesome work God is doing in our life and begin to take joy in it. You know, when I was preparing this message, a picture came to my mind that was so clear, just like my sister talked about today. I'm not going to call it a vision, but it was so clear. It was a picture of a whale. And there were trees and plants all around the well. And the Lord spoke to my heart and He said, Tim, that well represents the depth of the work that I've done in your life. That well represents the depth and the weightiness of what I'm doing in the lives of my people. But those trees and those plants around that well represent those things that are distracting them from seeing my faithfulness in their life. And then in the picture, the Lord blew upon those trees and those plants, and like leaves scattering with the wind, the plants and the bushes, they just begin to blow away. And I looked down into the well, and I saw a depth in this well, and I saw water in this well. And beloved, I believe today the Lord truly wants to open your eyes just to see His faithfulness in your life. I'm telling you, God has done a work in your life. And people are seeing the change. In the everyday normal things that you do, people are seeing a life and a strength that is not your own. You know what I love about Lazarus? That very moment Jesus raised him from the dead, whatever he did, it was not in his strength. It was now resurrection life. Chapter 12, he's sitting at a table. How common is that? But he wasn't sitting there in his own strength. Chapter 11, he walks out of the tomb, but his legs are walking. They weren't walking in his own strength. And I'm telling you, in the everyday normal things that you are doing, people are beholding the life and the strength of God in your life. And someone's being impacted. Amen. So my altar call is this. Pastor Tim, I'm one who lives with the failure mentality. Every day of my life, somewhere I feel like an absolute failure. But there was an anointing upon the simplicity of the word today, and I'm coming to this altar and I'm casting my confidence back upon the Lord. I am not a failure because his work in me is not a failure. God is doing a deep work. And one more time, I'm putting my confidence in the Lord. And I'm going to walk out of here today encouraged and taking joy in what he's doing in my life. So, beloved, if that's you today, just as the musicians play, would you just come and join me in this altar? And I just want to pray for you today. It's a very simple prayer, but right from the Lord's heart. Thank you, God. Lord, we thank you that the glory of the new covenant is a transformed life. God, we thank you, Lord, that as we behold you, Christ, as we make you the focus of our hearts, we are changing from glory to glory, image to image, likeness to likeness. God, we thank you that there are no failures here. God, we thank you that there are no failures here, God, because of you're working in our life, God. Lord, we're not a failure because Christ in us is not a failure. We're not a failure because the work that God is doing in our lives is not a failure. And God, I'm just asking in a very simplistic way, Lord, that right now the truths of your word would just come and break that failure mentality over the lives of so many people. God, they just live with voices in their mind every day, calling them failure, the voice of the enemy, the voice of our own hearts. But God, I thank you that, Lord, you said to be confident. Lord, you didn't say be discouraged. You didn't say be hopeless. You didn't say be despairing. You said be confident that he which begun a good work in you will complete that work, will work that work every day of our life. And God, we can be confident in your working in our life. Father, we've read that scripture many times, but I'm asking that you would quicken it by the power of the Holy Ghost and you would plunge it into the work of the enemy. And that, God, there would be a confidence in our God and in the faithfulness of our God. That, Lord, what you have set your heart to do in our life, God, you are more than able. God, let people just walk out strengthened and encouraged that in the ordinary things, the simple things of their life, people are seeing the difference Christ can make in a life that's given to him. And let them walk out in the strength and in the encouragement and in the hope of the faithfulness of our God. Lord, I thank you for that. Beloved, Lord, one more time, let's just raise our hands to the Lord. Let's sing that song again, and let's just take a moment just to worship the Lord. Take a moment just to thank the Lord for the faithfulness of God in our life, that he is more than able to make us into what he desires us to be. Amen. Let's worship the Lord.
It was Paul the Apostle that warned some of the people he was preaching to and said, I fear lest your minds be converted from the simplicity that is in Christ. There's something so profound in the simple understanding of what Jesus Christ did for you and I when he died for us. He took all of our failures and rewrote his own success story over our lives and says, now, if you will just trust me, it's not going to be a story, it's going to be you. I'm going to make it real in your life. If you will just walk with me step by step, little by little, line by line. And when you fall, I'll pick you up again. And when you fall, I'll pick you up. And you fall, I'll pick you up. And then eventually, as we heard Pastor Tim say today, you'll be walking without falling. And the people who know you will look and say, wow, what happened to her? What happened to him? Nothing in a sense that looks to be this instantaneous miracle, but it is a progressive work of God that eventually brings the life and the victory of God to the surface in all of us. Thank God. Don't be discouraged. God has a plan to touch this world, and that plan flows through you. There's no escaping it. You are an integral part of the plan of God, and He will not fail you. He will not. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. When the devil tries to accuse you, remember that you have the right to condemn that voice and say, Satan, I'm not going down. You're going down. I'm going up. I'm going to walk through this life, and God is going to glorify His name through me. Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord, for this message today. Thank you, God, for the power that you promised each of us to change. For you said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things in us are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that is the truth. Father, thank you that death has lost its power. Sin has lost its grip. The old ways of doing things have lost their strength. There's a new life. There's a new strength. There's a new power alive inside of all of us. So, God, we ask you in Jesus' name to make that life a reality. Give us victory over that which would try to make us believe that it has the power to defeat us. Let this victory of the cross be ours. Let it be ours in this generation. And, God, we thank you that we are leaving here encouraged and strengthened by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. And for this, we give you praise in Jesus' mighty name.